Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, July 26, 2019. Church leaders offer to mediate between government and rebels of the National Salvation Front.
We have been visiting both government control areas as well as NAS areas. We have visited them and to find out exactly how possible we can start a negotiation between the leadership of NAS and the government.
And internal displaced persons weigh on how and what they will want to see in the new South Sudan security forces.
We talk about the peace while there is no implementation. Now the civilian, they are staying in Juba. Now we are in Juba now. If you go to the rural area like Goronrurinak, it is difficult for you to move.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Church leaders from former Central Equatorial State are offering to mediate between the government and the rebels of the National Salvation Front. The church leaders who are meeting in Yei have condemned recent fighting between the National Salvation Front, rebels and government forces in Jubek State. Daniel Friday Martin reports for VOA from Yei.
Several bishops from the Episcopal Church of South Sudan within the former Central Equatorial State are on a 3-day visit to Yei River State to show solidarity with the people affected by conflict. Paul Yogusuk, Archbishop of the Internal Province of Central Equatoria of the Episcopal Diocese of South Sudan, tells South Sudan in Focus the church is prepared to mediate between the government and non-signatories to the peace deal.
We want to thank the president, Salva Kiir Mayardit, by accepting our call for mediation. And we have been visiting both government control areas as well as NAS areas. We have visited them and to find out exactly how possible we can start a negotiation between the leadership of NAS and the government. We want to see that this peace is inclusive. Everybody is on board so that we can have a lasting peace.
This week, National Salvation Front rebels clashed with government forces, displacing thousands of villagers from Lobonok. Archbishop Yogusu condemned both sides for violating Chapter 2 of the River Talas Peace Agreement.
There is an ongoing fighting now between the government and NAS, and this is really worrying. People have left the area. Some of them came to Juba, others went as far as Numule and other areas. They have scattered, and so we are arguing the government as well as the opposition, NAS, to cease this conflict, to stop fighting, because it is our people that are suffering.
Presidential spokesman Atteni Wake Atteni says the Kiir administration is ready to negotiate with anyone if it helps restore peace and stability across the country.
The government of South Sudan is ready on what brings the country into normalcy. The government under President Kiir is working to ensure peace, and if anything required for the government to talk to Thomas Cerilo is welcomed.
Samuel Soba, spokesman for the National Salvation Front, says the rebel group welcomes mediation by the Episcopal Church.
What is important for the National Salvation Front is that there are current issues in the revitalized peace agreement that needed to be revisited, particularly issues to do with the federalism, the powers of the president, issues to do with the representation in the parliament, and the number of states.
Soba says people with sober minds should be able to resolve those issues. Bishop Hilary Loate Adeba of the Episcopal Diocese of Yei says for several months, Yei River State has experienced relative peace and stability, but he is urging both sides to continue to respect the cessation of hostilities agreement.
We want a bigger peace, a peace that can allow us to go to our farms in the rural areas and farm, allows us to build our schools so that our kids go to school.
For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yei.
Some internally displaced persons sheltering in a UN-run protection of civilian sites in Juba say security forces should be cantoned so civilians can move freely. The IDPs took part in a workshop today on security sector reform. A co-chair of the Strategic Defense and Security Review Board says she and her colleagues will consider the views of citizens while formulating security policies. Winnie Chirino has more for VOA from Juba.
In a large Juba hotel conference room, participants shared ideas on how to reform the security sector. The workshop, organized by Community Empowerment Progress Organization in partnership with the Strategic Defense and Security Review Board, attracted about 100 IDPs. 38-year-old Riak Dang, who fled to Juba from his hometown of Malakal in 2016 when the conflict spread to the area, says the security situation has not improved much since he left.
Security is bad because we talk about the peace while there is no implementation. Now the civilians, they are staying in Juba. Now we are in Juba now. What we need implementation.
Martha Nyankun, a mother of four who fled fighting in Bentiu in 2016, says the IDPs are fairly well protected inside the POCs, but they feel insecure as soon as they venture out of the camps to look for food or firewood because soldiers are present almost everywhere. She says oftentimes security personnel harass men from the POCs for no obvious reason. Speaking in Arabic, Nyankun says she fled from a village in Bentiu, where police usually resolve disputes between civilians. She says when she got to Juba, she was surprised to see soldiers involving themselves in every matter, including things that had nothing to do with the military. Nyankun says she wants security personnel to be separated from civilian life.
Even if soldiers are all being organized, they should be in their own place. We civilian, we should have our own place. For example, in our previous place where we came from, there were police. With the police, when you committed a crime, your case can be legally followed up. And if you are found guilty, you will be imprisoned. But if it's a light case, you can be pardoned. Things are discussed in a court, and you cannot be beaten. The soldiers have their own behaviors, but for us civilians, we are used to staying with police.
Edmond Nyakani, Executive Director for Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, or SEPO, says the goal of the workshop was to enable the IDPs to share with the Defense and Security Review Board what types of security institutions they want and how they want those institutions to operate.
IDPs are in the POCs. We need to consider their views because they are South Sudanese. They may need to define the military, how the military should work, because as you are aware that our crisis in South Sudan is simply because we have a fragile security sector.
The board will talk to security forces, faith-based organizations, and the citizens in the POCs in the other states. And the board will then come up with a list of recommendations for security reform. For VOA News, I am Muni Sirino in Juba.
An avid supporter of rebels of the SPLA-IO says troops loyal to Riek Machar, who have assembled at a cantonment site in Torit State, have been living in dire conditions. Silvestro Akara says he visited one of the cantonment sites and witnessed how rebel forces are struggling to survive. Akara says President Salva Kiir should be blamed if the revitalized peace agreement collapses by the November 12th deadline to form a transitional government of national unity.
First of all, the cantonment look excellent. The forces are very, very excited. They are happy with the sign of the peace. But unfortunately, what I found over there and what I heard from even from the forces are that they are lacking some food shortage. Foods are not coming regularly, has requested in the peace agreement, and medication. Those are the things I have seen and which need attention. For sure, we want the peace implementation to go forward.
Why are you not contributing money to improve the conditions at the cantonment sites? All you people are doing are blaming one party.
Well, that is the requirement in the peace agreement. When the peace agreement was signed last year, September 12th, the it clearly spells that the government of South Sudan have to sponsor the peace. There's nobody is going to sponsor the peace. It is the responsibility of the government.
But the government is broke. The government has no money. Why can't you contribute money to improve conditions at the cantonment sites?
Why government do not have money? They have oil. They are selling oil. The money is coming in. We know that. Everybody knows that. And yet they are claiming they don't have money. And they are asking the international community to put in the money. And the international community also made it clearly that the government have the money, that pumping the oil, they have money from the oil. They have to step up, sponsor this peace. It is their responsibility. There's nobody's responsibility. All the opposition groups do not have any incomes. It is the
But what have you what have you done? What have you done to pressure the government to sponsor the cantonment sites? I mean, complaining about it on radio is it doesn't do anything.
Well, we have a team already in Juba. The deputy chairman is there. Mr. Henry Rodoar is there, but the government is not responding. The 8 months has gone without any progress.
The pre-transitional committee, the pre-transitional committee, which is in charge overseeing the activities of the peace agreement, is made up of all the parties to the agreement, including your party, the IO. Why would you blame one side?
Well, John, we are blaming the government because the government is the one having money and it is their responsibility to sponsor.
But what have you done? What have you done to press the government to fund the cantonment? You are part of the system there that is implementing the agreement, and all you're doing is throwing your hands up and complaining. What have you done to make the government sponsor the cantonment?
It is not a complaint. We are speaking for the facts. We have our team in Juba negotiating with the Juba team in order for them to release the money so that the implementation to move forward as it was agreed in the peace agreement. But the Juba government are dragging their feet. They don't want to release money.
That's Sylvester Akara, an avid supporter of the rebels loyal to Riek Machar. He was speaking with me from San Francisco yesterday after his recent visit to Torit State in South Sudan. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at kickboxing in South Sudan. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Did you have any fears when you were a child?
Yes, because sometimes I have bad dreams and also I do fear elderly people.
Never wanted to lose my grandmother at that time, and she's the only one that can understand my situation. Besides her, no one else.
I was scared of masquerades, masked men, monsters, all those things. I was scared of them.
From fire, and then also elders, they used to tell me, like, you know, don't play with your elders. Yeah, I used to fear my elders, and then also fire. I don't used to come near fire. Next where there is fire, I don't come next to it.
Yes, as a kid, I was afraid of the dark. Every time there was darkness, I was afraid. I think generally most kids are afraid of the dark.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011 and we'll get back to you. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Some foreigners have mastered colloquial Arabic, known as Arabi Juba, to help them take advantage of vast business opportunities in South Sudanese capital Juba. Foreign traders say they want to speak to their customers in Arabi Juba so they can boost their sales. Viola Elias has more for VOA from Juba.
30-year-old Ashraf Abu Koko, a Ugandan national, looks enthusiastic as he sits at his motor vehicle spare parts store in Juba's Haimouna area opposite the Nakasongola Church along Custom Road. Speaking in Arabic, Abu Koko says he felt socially isolated when he first arrived in Juba in 2013. He says Learning Juba Arabic was not easy, but he was determined to do it so he could communicate with his customers.
I am a quiz. And Arabs that are given to us here, and I can't remember Arabs are Mandak. Nano, if he hired a Chinese to begin, my Nas Fijuba, any can batal said it. Salah, what if he hella sub. And if it up there means all aja, like in a
even just to associate in your area, it was difficult because you may need something from someone, but you couldn't ask them in Juba Arabic. It came from my mind to learn Arabic language because I want to survive and live with the people in Juba. Like the saying which says, if you are in Rome, be like Romans, and if you are in Juba, be like people in Juba.
Abukoko says now life is good because he can coordinate his business affairs and fend off threats using Juba Arabic. He encourages all foreigners doing business in South Sudan to learn Juba Arabic like he did.
Aljid min barane ile itakut balta kashan awal aje talim luga ashan tajish. Lano asa mamikini.
For those who do not know Arabic, please make efforts to learn the language so that it can help you survive in Juba. It is not possible that your language will work for you here. Arabic language is important because once you know it, it can help you in exchanging money with your business partner.
Rwandan national John Nizimana says after he learned Juba Arabic, he buys water and rents a house without anyone's clip. Speaking in Juba Arabic, he says knowing the local language makes his staying in the capital much easier.
That time when I did not know Arabic, it was challenging. I was just speaking English at workplace and then later I learned Arabic slowly. I am working at a shop with my little Arabic and my life is better because now I pay my bills for food, water and rent.
Kenyan national Wilson Otiembo says he learned Juba Arabic while selling bathing shops along the streets of Juba. Speaking in Juba Arabic, Otiembo says his customers helped correct him whenever he spoke Arabic wrongly.
Okay, I'm a businessman. Kana ana gidor, ana gasma nasbi unusu berabera ya wana jaribu zede. Kana ana unusu bata.
Whenever I speak wrongly, there are always people who correct me and tell me what to say. So that was how I learned little by little. I am selling in a shop in the market and I learned it also from speaking to my customers. Before, I used to speak in English only, and those who know English help tell me what I don't understand.
Since South Sudan gained its independence in 2011, many foreigners and investors from around the world have come here to pursue business opportunities. Although many foreigners fled the country after the second wave of fighting broke out in July 2016, most are still struggling to learn Juba Arabic so they can better communicate with their customers. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Some South Sudanese women are learning kickboxing so they can defend themselves in case they are attacked. But one woman has set her sight on doing intense training in order to become the first female champion to represent South Sudan in international kickboxing competition. Ding Magod has the story for VOA from Juba.
That is 25-year-old Monica Michael Kelly honing her kickboxing skills in the gym. Clad in blue shorts, a vest, and boxing gloves, she pounds a punching bag as her coach braces his weight against the bag and her punches at Juba's youth center. Kelly, a Form 4 student in Juba, has been training with coach Okello Puro Obob 3 times a week since 2014. After her mother encouraged her to visit the youth center.
I was just home and then got lazy and then my mom's like, go to training, go to anywhere for girls. What do I, then I start come here. Like I'll start boxing. Then from there, these people are not serious about really like training every day. Then I went to kickboxing. They are always here, and there is the girls. It's like when you see they are doing so nice.
Kickboxing is a form of martial arts that combines boxing with elements of karate, in particular kicking with bare feet. Coach Obob describes it as an excellent sport for girls and women who are often denied the chance to show their aggression in sport. It also helps women defend themselves in a country where sexual violence is a pervasive problem. Kelly says since she began training, her proudest moment was when she received a gold medal and a certificate by the South Sudan Boxing Committee. In 2017, Kelly took part in a kickboxing competition in Uganda capital, Kampala.
I think the girl win because she's not my belt. She's not my this one because my belt is 50 and hers is 65. Then I'm just like, I'm not supposed to play with her. Then coach tell me that you have to because you, I know you are strong. You are like playing with guys every time.
When Kelly took up kickboxing, there were only three young other women training in the gym. As a kickboxer, Kelly says, you must train several times a week or you will lose your technique.
I have like four girls. Then another one got married. The another one busy with school. Then I'm free. So I'm just like, I'll make it, then I'll be the champion.
While she's committed to becoming a kickboxing champion in South Sudan, Kelly says it won't be easy. Coach Obob says despite the obstacles she faces, Kelly has shown enormous courage.
She's been competing in East Africa, mostly in Uganda, and of course in South Sudan. Her qualities are, she's very gentle. You can't even tell she's a kickboxer. Of course, she's loyal. She's here with us every time.
Obob says Kelly accompanies him as his assistant to UNICEF events where he teaches experts different forms of martial arts and self-defense. Obob also says he hopes other South Sudanese women will participate in kickboxing competitions outside the country.
With peace, everything will come through. And I would like to see them going to all African games, mostly some championship, world championship. I would like to see South Sudan represented worldwide, and through sport is the best opportunity to bring these young people, young girls together.
Obob says learning kickboxing also supports the development of social skills associated with team sports, such as reliability, conflict resolution, confidence, and positive self-image. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
We have heard from many of you regarding what you think about various stories we have aired recently on this program. We'd like to share with you a sample of your comments sent to our WhatsApp number. Juma from South Sudan writes, millions of thanks for VOA for this great initiative to hear our voice in South Sudan through this platform. I am so thankful. James from Nairobi writes, hello VOA South Sudan in Focus. Thank you for bringing the news to my room. The banning of the national anthem sounds somehow. My question is, are educational institutions such as primary, secondary school and universities included in the ban on the use of national anthem? Another listener from Uganda writes, I am Robert Atiku from Maracha District in West Nile region of Uganda. The reports in this program have brought light to many issues happening in South Sudan and other parts of Africa. I have enjoyed a recent report from Columbus Mavunga, your Zimbabwean correspondent, on the impact of inflation on teachers' pay, and I am also an ardent listener of VOA's Daybreak Africa program. Viva VOA! Hello VOA, I am Won Kwang, South Sudanese living in Cairo, Egypt. I am very glad to be connected to your WhatsApp number today. Another listener writes, hello VOA, my name is Wani, and I would wish to be added to your WhatsApp group in order to access first-hand news since you are the most reliable media house. Jima in Juba writes, people in Juba are saying that many people are going back home from refugee camps in Uganda to South Sudan. But today, Ugandan government is saying refugees are still coming from South Sudan. This confuses me, Juma adds. Emmanuel from Juba writes, I am sad for the detention of Michael Christopher without any charges. For me, freedom of expression is never practiced, though many claimed it is. May God see the injustice that happens everywhere in South Sudan, especially in Blue House. Bosco from Uganda writes, I love your news because they are in summary, and I beg you people to post it to my number every day. Thank you. Another listener, Simon Mikanipare, writes, I'm happy to have my voice to be heard in my nation. I'll always share with you more here on WhatsApp. The banning of national anthem of South Sudan is like denying the rights of South Sudanese. Another listener in Lake State writes, Hi, this is Honorable Shadrach Bol from Western Lake State, South Sudan. I am connected to VOA South Sudan in Focus on WhatsApp. Thanks. Solomon from Adar State writes, The recent statement made by the chairman of the NPTC on the formation of Artigonu in November 2019 is not feasible. Where is the unified forces? What about the number of states? And what about the constitution? Just saying it for the sake of saying it and never visible unless otherwise. President Salva Kiir has outright political will as regards to peace implementation. Maurice Henry writes, Hi, we are very glad for the coverage in our country. I hope you will cover some areas without journalists. Thanks. Gum Tang from Juba writes, Hi, VOA, I'm grateful to get in contact with you. I have been a good listener of your radio, but until my radio got spoiled. If possible, I therefore request you to be sending me audio of South Sudan in Focus. Another listener from Uganda who did not provide his or her name writes, If I was a president, I would give 80% of jobs to women because they are hardworking. They look after children. They work very hard while men are in the bar verandas boozing and rumor mongering.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011 and we'll get back to you. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
And remember to send us your comments on our WhatsApp number. The number is +1 202-630-8011. And we will sample some of your comments here every Friday. That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with a song by a girl from Kasese in Uganda.
Why can't you see I'm too young for love at this time? I wanna be a great woman, that is my destiny. I wanna be the next Rebecca Kadaga. I wanna be the next Ege Asuba. I wanna be the next Winnie Vianima. I wanna be the next Maggie Kikuzi. I wanna be the next Sara Opendi. I wanna be the next I wanna be the next Ramana Magula. Get out my way. Who's gonna be my protector? Who's gonna be on my side for the fight? The fight is enormous, the battle is tight. I'm vulnerable.
We've been listening to that girl from Kasese singing about her future. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. And remember to join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
I wanna be the next Jennifer Musisi. I wanna be the next. next Janet Timu 7, I wanna be the next Julie 17, I wanna replace.